Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When we were talking pre-draft, one of our favorite guests to talk about Shedeur Sanders and all the many things that went along with Shedeur Sanders coming into the NFL, we talked with Brian Howell, a Colorado Buffalo beat writer for Buff Zone, and we promised him, if it happens, if he comes to Cleveland, we'll have you back on. And right now, that's exactly what we do. Welcome Brian Howell on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. There was a lot of times during that draft I didn't think I'd ever be on Cleveland radio again.
And here we
are.
Did
that make you happy, or right? What was that like? Yeah,
yeah. It was quite the experience covering that draft. Just, you know, from the Shedeur Travis Colorado angle, and just kind of waiting for that to happen, and, you know, watching the Browns pass on him several times. I was like, well, Cleveland's out, so where's he actually going to go? And then he actually winds up in Cleveland. So. It was interesting.
So what was, if you're, as you're covering this, because I don't know, you know, what maybe events you were or weren't at. So just throughout the course of that 3-day span there, what was the reaction like as you were watching social media and watching, you know, people that follow Buff Zone, and you're watching, obviously, the Sanders family? What was the reaction to what I have described as the plunge in the NFL draft?
Yeah, well, you know, I had family things going on, and your kids in high school going to different events. And every time I went somewhere, everybody just wanted to talk about, you know, they come up to me, when's you were going to get drafted? Well, I don't know. And so it was really, you couldn't go anywhere publicly without somebody wanting to talk about Shedeur falling in the draft. And, you know, obviously Buff fans were just, you know, kind of beside themselves and wondering what in the world's going on here. So, yeah, it was quite the weekend, and not what I expected out of that weekend for sure.
So, now in the time that's happened since, I think a lot of people are understanding what you were talking about before the draft, and just the amount of people that come with Shedeur Sanders, the attention that comes with Shedeur Sanders. I mean, it's been a couple days, and we've had so many reports, him running hills in Akron, to him going and visiting middle schools and all that comes with it. I know you're not surprised, but the very first few little days you had Shedeur Sanders covered in Colorado, did it feel like what it is with the Browns, or is the NFL taking it to another level?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think Shedeur is one that, you know, just get him on a team, whatever team he's on, and he'll be all in. And I've always thought that with him. And, you know, whatever the narratives were, you know, true or false, you know, going into that draft and throughout that draft, I always knew with him, just wherever he lands, he's going to be all in for that team, and they're going to love him. And I think that that's what's going to happen in Cleveland. Is it doesn't surprise me at all that he's already been out there visiting a school, you know, working out there. That's just Shedeur. Once he's in, that's where he's going to be.
So I guess you can kind of help us walk through which narratives were true and which ones were maybe played against Shedeur here. So I'm just curious, like, what narratives do you think were fair that came out about Shedeur in the draft? And maybe which ones do you think were unfair or untrue?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to know without obviously being in those meetings, but the main narrative that's been coming out, obviously, is that he didn't interview well. And there's part of me that can see that with him. I mean, I really liked him. I think those of us that covered him really liked him. And most people like him. But he can also, I've seen it and heard stories where he can come across as maybe a bit entitled and maybe not come across well. And so I could see where that maybe was the case. And unfortunately, maybe he didn't get good advice going into some of those things. But I just think that for him, he's got to be all in on something. And I could see a situation where he thought a team, maybe they're drafting late 20s, in the 30s, whatever, wants to talk to him. And he's doesn't think he's going to fall that far. So he's not going to give it his best effort. And so I can see a situation like that. But I just fully believe that now that he's in, he'll be all in.
If you were Shador, who would you blame the most? Would it be himself? Would it be Dion? Would it be somebody that I'm not even thinking of within his camp? Like, who would you be mad at the most and put the most responsibility for the Ishay slide?
Well, contrary to popular belief with Shador, he doesn't really blame others, and I think he would blame himself. And for him not maybe researching it more and getting better information that he needed going into those draft interviews, I really think he would blame himself on that. But really what you've seen out of him so far is he's not blaming anybody. He's just saying, hey, it is what it is. Let's get to work. And that doesn't surprise me about him at all.
Brian Howell of Buff Zone and the Boulder Daily Camera, author of several sports books as well on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, breaking down Shador Sanders falling in the draft. So in terms of the kind of fallout from that, maybe you can speak to this better than we can, because there's been this narrative that has emerged. If Shador had maybe a proper NFL agent, some of this slide could have been avoided. Do you feel like that is a fair thing to say?
Yeah, I think so. I think that, obviously we know his father has kind of been, mentoring him through all this stuff. And I do believe that his father has been very good for him in a lot of ways. But that in some cases, I think that you're too close to a situation sometimes, and maybe it's good to get that outside source to be that mentor and somebody to prepare you for those things. And I've coached my own kids, and you get too close to it sometimes. You think too much of your own kid sometimes, and you need that outside perspective. And so maybe he didn't get that enough, and maybe that's where hiring an agent that's not so close, not his father, but also not so close to the family all these years, would have been a good thing.
It's Dylan Gabriel. It's Kenny Pickett. It's Joe Flacco. Do you expect Shador to win that job and be the starting quarterback week one, or are you thinking it's more going to be a week five, week six, week seven type thing for Shador?
My prediction for this situation is that I think Joe Flacco is the starter day one, just because he's the experienced guy. From what I know, Browns fans like him from what he did a couple years ago. But that at some point, Shador is going to be the guy. I believe he'll be the starter at some point in 2025 for the Browns.
Brian, really good stuff, man. Appreciate your time. We have fulfilled our mutual contractual obligation here. We set you free back to covering Buff Zone, and we'll catch you down the road, bud.
It's your Shaduty, as Nick calls it.
That's right. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I've never called it Shaduty.
No.
Not once there.
No, you're right. I just lied on your behalf.
But if it's plausible.
I mean, like I just naturally put everything with the shun in front of it, and I think that could be responsible for you at some point.
In fairness, if you said, has Nick Wilson ever said Shaduty before or not, the answer is people would say yes. That's exactly
the problem there is I can't say it myself. Like, thanks for doing the Shaduty. Because yeah. I just don't roll that way.
That's true.
I don't do the shut in front of things.
I think we
unless we're calling it
back.
A shaboom.
Yeah, I think.
Hello, Costco guys.
Boom. I think we both.
But that's
know.
All. That's all. In
your
pure
team. Anything.
I'm team shaboom, and the shaboom is more in mockery of the system anyway.
I don't think so. I think you've embraced the system, and I think you've done the right thing. Like, this is all part and parcel of having Shador here, is embracing the system. Brian Howell on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I thought it was interesting, kind of his reaction to the plunge, the drop, whatever we want to call it. It definitely doesn't seem like he puts that too much on Shador necessarily. And I'm sorry, he doesn't put on Shador's camp. He puts it more on the kid.
Well, I think he was trying to make the claim that Shador would take responsibility for himself and he would own up to it, which I don't know anybody would disagree with. That seems like the type of person that Shador is. But that's why I asked it more like, hey, what would you blame? Like, who would you blame? I wanted, if you're going to be petty about it, if you're going to be that type of way about it, like, who would you blame? And that's where I think it becomes an interesting conversation. I think Shador's acting the right way. I think Shador's acting the way that he should be acting. But, like, you know, we don't have to play that same game. If it was us and we fell to the fifth round, Nick, and it cost us $40 million and we wanted to be petty about it, who would we blame if we were Shador?
You'd have to blame your dad, right?
You have to. Like, and I kind of wanted Brian just to say that, but maybe he's too close to Dion, so maybe you don't want to go barking up that tree.
He'd like some show coverage later this fall.
We do know how that program does operate. If you say bad things about Dion, all of a sudden, you just get removed. You're just taken out of the equation.
I think Shador did the smartest thing he could have after the plunge. Down to Dion calling Andrew Berry to thank him, yeah, which is a story that came out. He just was like, all right, I'm in Cleveland and I'm moving on. Even in his answers with the press conferences that we've heard, he didn't really dwell on it a lot. It's like, no, this is what's happened and it's moved on. I actually think the media, and I hate saying anything the media because it's just a lazy way of talking about this, but I do think the collective media held on to the Shador stuff, the plunge, as it were, a hell of a lot longer than the Sanders family did. Like, I mean, we were getting Mike Florio think pieces Thursday and Friday of last week, and there was just nothing. Instead of doing what they did pre-draft and then in the draft, where Lewis Riddick and Mel Kiper were just, I mean, almost embarrassingly incredulous about the plunge. You didn't get any of that after the draft. They just allowed it to move on, which I think is the best thing you could have done for the kid.
Well, I think he really had a let's get to work now mentality, which is what he should be having. That's why, like, so instantaneously, we just started seeing him do all these other things in and around Cleveland. I think he did. I really do think he gets it. He might not end up being the greatest quarterback we've ever seen. But, like, from, like, the franchise quarterback perspective and what you have to do, like, how many other people have entered immediately day one and done what he's already been trying to do and showcase?
I should have known that if I led you to credit to give to Shador, that you would give him credit.
Break the norms of what's been going on for 4 months,
think,
and all of a sudden
I've been very, ever since your boy got drafted here, I defended him.
That is debatable.
Friday from the stupidity. I was going to try and do it, and I realized very quickly that could go wrong. But the stupidity.
What's wrong with it? We got to give people
really
credit.
Hard to say.
We got to give people credit when they do the right things, do we not?
But no. But I think my point is, like,
you want to bash him when he all of a sudden does something that seems.
I've never seen you say anything critical about Shador.
Why would I bash him when he's doing the right things?
I'm just saying.
Why would now be the time to go ahead and be like, you know what I don't like? Him going to grade schools and teaching America's youth, Cleveland's youth, on top of it. Like, that'd be a bonkers move after 4 months of riding for Shador to then be like, now's the time that I rip him.
I just think you've been riding a lot there. I think you might want to just simmer down.
I feel comfortable with the rideability, or whatever you want to call it, that we've been going down. Feel very comfortable.
Easy
right,
now.
Jake, it's your birthday. I'm going to take this one easy on you. Jonathan Peterlin is very comfortable with Shador Sanders' rideability. That one's going to be the headline there, and we will get back to the Cavs.
No, but I'm supposed to rip him when he teaches him Cleveland's youth. That's the time to go off.
I think, again, like everything else, you're just stretching here, but that's okay.
Not stretching.
Okay.
He did good things.
You don't
good
need
things
to stretch
last week
after a good ride. One analyst had
you're
big,
an unreal human.
Big reservations.
You're not a real
and
human.
And criticisms for the Cavs. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. You know who didn't get a pass last night? The Cleveland Cavaliers, at least from Jay Williams. It should be said that Jay Williams normally has a lot of analysis that honestly is some of the most mundane.
You're still bragging about his take from last week where he said Jalen Brunson was the best Nick ever.
Yeah, he is the RG3 of NBA media, of a guy who 99% of the time, I could not give a rip what this guy says. And yet, there's some pretty strong criticisms about the Cavs' efforts in Game 1 last night that I think some of us might end up agreeing with.
I am extremely concerned about the Cavs. Number one, Garland in that situation. And number two, defensively, you talk about one of the best teams defensively in the league. I mean, they just look uninterested in this game. I mean, for 19 threes to be made on 54% shooting, with all the narratives that have been looming around Cleveland throughout the entire year, I better see a different Cleveland team in game two. And I know they had a good layoff, and sometimes that layoff can disrupt your rhythm, but still, that's no excuses. I saw lazy defense. Donovan Mitchell, I think he is a superstar in this league. 33 points on 30 shots. You had two players that took 50 of their 98 shots. The second player was Ty Jerome. Not showing up offensively, but defensively, not being locked in.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
That was one of the most disappointing efforts that I've seen in the game one.
All right. I don't hate most of the stuff that he said there. Now, I think it does open the door of like, all right, was it the defense that failed you last night, or was it the offense? Because you can pick an island between those two, and I don't think you'd be wrong.
Well, the defense part is interesting, because like, what do we know the one thing the Pacers do at an elite level? They score. Like, that's their game. Their game is scoring. That's why they had the second best offense in the NBA this last season. So I can't really get on the Cavs defense when you knew what Indiana was going to do.
They gave him a lot of really good looks last night. Like, they gave him a lot of...
But to suggest that it was lazy defense, I just didn't get that vibe at all.
I don't think
Indiana made a couple extra passes, and they got guys open. No one's contesting that. But when have you ever accused this team of being lazy defensively?
I don't think they were focused defensively. I don't think they were locked in defensively. I don't think they were... So lazy is a very specific accusation. I think they gave away a lot of really easy baskets last night, that if you had either communicated or been locked in, the first half of that game doesn't look anywhere close to what it looked like.
I don't want to try to defend what their defense was. I'm not going to try to say it was great or anything like that, but if we're doing a defense versus offense thing, in the NBA, a team like the Pacers are going to score theirs in the postseason. That's why we're going to have an Isaac Okoro debate later on. Like, they're going to get their buckets. Halliburton's going to get what he wants. Siakam's going to get what he wants. And yeah, they had a nice night shooting. There's no debating that. But offensively, you want to say that's where the Cavs struggled more. I would 100% co-sign that.
I think, okay, listen.
The amount of shots Donovan's still taking shots.
So I'm a
Game's
little.
Game's been over for 24 hours.
I'm a little devil's advocate on this one. I would say, though, it's the quality of shots that Indiana got in the first half should never happen in an NBA playoff game. And I want to put the onus on Indiana's really good in transition. Indiana's passing is incredibly tough to stay consistent on.
So you think it was laziness? What do you think it was?
I just think it was you weren't crisp enough. Like, you weren't ready to handle them defensively.
I mean, you want to make an argument that
they are, though.
Yeah, listen, we can make the argument that defensively, I mean, the Cavs were what, like the 10th rated defense when it was all said and done by the end of the season? Like, you want to make an argument that the Pacers' offense is always going to be defense in the NBA, that they just had too much skill for the Cavs' defense? I can make that argument. We can go down that road. But calling the Cavs' defense lazy, I didn't see that one, Jay.
I think it's probably closer to just letting them off the hook, though.
I mean, if that's the case, if you want to say that it was lazy defense and they weren't, you called it crisp enough or whatever, doesn't that fall solely on Atkinson? Who does that fall on?
That falls on the players. Like, you have to know.
If you can't get up for game one of round two, then you're never getting up for anything.
I don't think they were up for it. I mean, I don't think they were up for it at all. They clearly never settled into their offense, which, across four quarters, maybe I'll give you the edge that the offense was the bigger issue, because in three of the four quarters, you never locked into who you are offensively.
Your second worst shooting night from three we've seen them have the entire year.
To me, that's they didn't pass the ball. There's one team that continuously passed the ball really well last night, and I want to give the Pacers defense some of the credit for it. Some of it was just – I think it was just they weren't focused. Like, that's not a game one performance. And I think that's where the defense comes in. Again, lazy is such a specific connotation. It belongs nowhere here. The Cavs play hard. They didn't play good team defense.
He also said uninterested, too, which is
uninterested might be the better way of putting it. I mean, think about how many times the Pacers dribble the ball down the court and it took a pass. We're not talking about they swing the ball around the court. A pass, and you get in a high percentage three opportunity. That was like, I can't give them full flowers for hitting 52% of their threes last night for the Pacers, because they just got the threes that they wanted, and so many of the times it was just there. It shouldn't have been there. Those first look threes should not have been there the way that they were last night.
Call it uninterested. You can call it lazy like Jay Williams did. But that's a real problem if you really do believe any of those words describe what happened last night, because that implies that they got too fat off of a Miami series, and you should never get too fat off of a Miami series because they're not a very good basketball team, Nick.
Or they played four meaningful games in 2 weeks, and the last two of those games weren't meaningful at all. I mean, can we leave a little room that could be a possibility? We like love and respect for this team. Like, you played in a half a month, you played two actual games where the other team pushed you in any way.
Okay, lazy to me describes, uninterested describes to me that there was a gear you could get to, you just chose not to.
Choosing is not just 12 people thinking, we're not going to do this.
If you want to say there was a layoff and you want to say they didn't play enough meaningful basketball and it was too long of a stretch, that's factors that are out of their control. Like, if you say uninterested, that's in their control. Lazy, in my opinion, is in their control.
I don't think they were ready for the punch that Indy was going to throw yesterday, and it just took them a long time to catch up. I don't think it's just one thing. I think it was Ty Jerome that said there were like a million little things that led to that loss. I agree completely. If three of the million things doesn't go the way it goes last night, the Cavs actually get a game one win. That's how it's closer than the score even indicates. But yeah, I don't think so. I don't love the word lazy, but if you want to say unfocused, it's a huge part. And I think that was more so, and no, it was across the board. They never locked into their offense. They never locked into defense. They never locked into pressure until the third quarter. And by then, they spent so much time getting back into the game that it was a big, big, big hill to climb over. 216-474-0092. Offense or defense, which was the bigger issue last night for the Cavaliers? We do have the Peterlin pass coming up in about 5 minutes as well on 92.3 The Fan. We didn't get to this early in the show because we had just so much to get to. Did Kenny have a bad game one?
I don't know if I can put it all on Kenny. And in fact, I was in my mind, I was thinking about something Fedor told me a couple years ago. I remember when the Cavs had that horrendous series against the Knicks, and Fedor after game four came out and was like, at some point you have to blame it on execution or lack thereof. He's like, you can't blame it on JB. You got to blame it on the lack of an execution. And even that series where I thought JB had one of the worst series you could possibly have, Fedor was right. At the end of the day, it does fall on the execution, and the Cavs just didn't execute nearly well enough.
So I'm a little torn on this one because I don't think Kenny is in the top three of, hey, we didn't get the job done in game one. I do think he's on the list. And listen, somebody when you're not playing offensively the way you're supposed to, right? Meaning you just continue to drive the ball into the paint and you keep settling for two when that's not your forte as a team. The Cavs do a lot of driving to the paint. I think they scored 70 points last night. It's not necessarily that. There wasn't a lot of drive and kick. There wasn't a lot of play creation off the drives, which Indiana seemingly did whenever the hell they want. Even if Kenny's – and I also thought he did some stuff with the lineups I thought was good, but I think at some point, when you see that for a half, somebody's got to break the chain. Like, somebody does have to go, hey, guys, we're not passing the ball. Like, sometimes guys are so into the game and you're so into it mentally and so into it on every single play that maybe you're just not thinking the obvious thing. And so much of what the Cavs struggled with last night was somebody needs to be the guy in the room that's like, pass the ball.
Yeah, which is something they've all season long, they took such great pride in being one of these teams to just continually move the rock, and just they didn't do it nearly enough, didn't get the good looks. And I think that part of that, though, is Donovan taking 30 shots. It's just not necessary. Like, that's – we talk about – they talk about their shot diet all the time. That's a bad shot diet.
So would you say that if they ate that shot diet in public – That people would shame them?
It's a bold play if they ate that shot diet in public. That's now, that's an on-the-shirt shot diet.
Would that be like an obese shot diet? Or would that be like an anemic shot diet?
It's not a first date shot diet, I'll tell you that much. That's a look-at-me shot diet.
Wasn't a game one shot diet either. Let's get to the Peterlin Pass.
All right.
There's only one man with the knowledge to criticize and the power to let it slide. It's time for this week's Peterlin Pass.
I'll give you the Peterlin Pass for talking over the open, though.
No! The Peterlin Pass.
No. We stopped it just in time. It was all clean. Just like your shirt after eating that chili. It's all clean.
Just like the Delco, I can't say the name of the rest of it.
That got very dirty. Very dirty. All right, so.
She claimed it was quite clean.
The Peterlin Pass is going to go to our friend, the Diff, because the Diff is something that if you watch Cavs games, you know very well of, right?
Uh-huh.
It's the little bug on the scoreboard, and it tells you the differential in the game. And then also it's been incorporated into the T-shirts. And for a while there, I used to have a problem with the Diff. I used to talk about it like, you know, does Dan Gilbert just think we're idiots? Was it Dan Gilbert creation? He wanted people not to have to do the math. And I'm going to give the Diff the Peterlin Pass because I heard Zach Lowe on The Ringer today, and Zach Lowe went to town on our beloved Diff.
The Diff? The Diff is what you're going with? The Diff is so stupid. For those who don't know, the Diff is something they put on their scoreboard. It stands for the difference, and it's literally the difference in the game. It was stupid enough on the scoreboard. Now it's your shirt. And just like the Celtics deserve to start games down 5-0 when they wear their stupid black jerseys that nobody likes, the Cavs deserve to start yesterday's game down 5-0 for the stupid Diff shirt, and the basketball gods punished them with a loss. Light those shirts on fire. We're something else for game two.
All right, here's why I'm embracing the Diff. What was once a sworn enemy of mine has now become a friend. Because all the national media, including Zach Lowe, and a couple other people we've had on the station that have ripped the Diff as well, you're just telling on yourself. You don't watch enough Cavs basketball. Like, if the Diff is new to you, or if it's a surprise to you, you have not taken in enough Cavs basketball, and it is the obvious way of you telling me that you don't know what exactly is going on with this franchise.
The Diff is stupid.
It might be, but you know what? It's an obvious way. No, it's an obvious way to tell the fraudulent charlatans from the real people that actually take in Cavs basketball.
Charlatans.
Yeah, and them too. Every bit of it. I used to hate the Diff. I thought it was insulting to our intelligence. And you know what? During the Miami series,
it's still insulting.
I found myself during the Miami game. Excuse me, as I die on the air during the Miami game. I'll try my best.
I just don't want to host the next 3 hours. Solo.
When it got to be like 57 or 58 points, and in the 50s, I was like, you know what? I kind of like the Diff. When it turns out, when math gets in like over 45, I can use the Diff every now and again.
Listen, I have not previously espoused an opinion on the Diff because it just shouldn't matter. It really shouldn't. Until you make your shirt about it. And listen, it was very punny. The Diff is you.
No, this is now Cavs basketball. Cavs basketball now is the Diff.
So does that mean our Cavs basketball is incredibly reductive in simple math? Is that what it is?
Oh, last night looked incredibly reductive. With the point is, you're telling on yourself. The national media is telling on themselves, and I'm going to start using it.
So it's really not a Peterlin Pass. I'm going to use it as a gauge for the Diff. It's more of a Peterlin
what was
jam
once
up
my enemy is now my friend media. Because you now are exposing all these charlatans. You are now my friend, the Diff. I appreciate what you do, and I appreciate the fact that it is unique to just us. We're the only team in the entire NBA that puts the Diff out there. It is becoming. You might hate it, but it is becoming what we are known for in NBA league pass circles. And for that, I just have to wrap my arms around it and embrace it.
So
you're saying
that the Diff is not stupid and insulting?
I'm the originator of calling it insulting to everyone's intelligence.
Like, it sounds like you're not saying that anymore.
I came up with the concept
like you're
of how wild
on
it is.
The Diff.
That's the point of the Peterlin Pass. I once did not agree with the Diff. I now give the Diff the pass because it represents so much more than insulting our intelligence.
What does it represent?
It represents the idea that people like Zach Lowe didn't actually watch Cavs basketball because he's just now coming up with the idea that he doesn't like the Diff.
I think you still hate the Diff. You just... You just hate the national media more.
Past week or so, I have now come to love the diff. I am the diff in many circles, and so here we are.
Everyone's like, you going to see Peterlin? I'm like, you mean the diff? Yeah, I'm going to go see the diff.
Got that big diff energy.
Mmm. Plus 40. Plus 50. What dare I say?
Can we go higher?
Oh, giving me the vapors. Plus 60. 216-474-0092. JP giving the diff, the Peterlin pass. Do you agree with this? Or, like most common sense, is it still just dumb? Is it still just
it's a now
very
ours.
Dumb thing?
If you think it's dumb, it's ours now. So wrap your arms around it.
And the one thing that can be a factor and an excuse at the same time for the Cavaliers in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
The Peterlin pass.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.